All right, let's open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, please. Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to conclude the Kingdom of Darkness study. That's kind of been one of the most in-depth scriptural studies that we've done on any topic, at least since I've been here. And I've been very pleased with it, the depths that we've plumbed through study in God's Word. And in fact, we begin this study, believe it or not, in the middle of November, and it's February tomorrow. So it's time to draw it to a close. And so anyway, Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to read one verse of Scripture. We've read this verse. It's kind of become our theme verse. Let's begin reading with verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemings of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places or in the heavenly realms. Now, we've said that we kind of shifted from all the in-depth teaching about the kingdom of darkness, its organizations, its rankings, its classifications, to the methods that the devil uses to come against us. And in Ephesians 6:11, it says that we should put on the whole armor that we might be able to stand against the wiles. In the Greek language, that word wiles or schemings is the Greek word methodeia, from whence we get our English word method, methods, methodology. And we've so far looked at three methods that the enemy uses to attack us. The first one is what? Can anybody remember? We talked about this about a month ago. How about permission? Asking permission from the Lord. Right? He cannot attack us directly without divine approval from the Lord. And secondly, we said it was accusation. The devil will accuse us. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 12 that he stands before the presence of God accusing us day and night. And if there was ever an opportunist that existed, the devil is the prime opportunist of all time. Tonight we're going to conclude with, I mean, there are more methods, but we're going to just keep it to the very basic ones. We're going to look at another method that the enemy seeks to attack us, and in this term, collectively as a body. Because the Bible says that there are strength in numbers, that a threefold cord cannot be easily broken in the book of Ecclesiastes, that we truly do stand united as one. And Ephesians chapter 5, if you'll turn there with me, or 4 rather, Ephesians 4, just turn two chapters before 6, obviously. And I want us to read some of the beginning verses, the first three verses of Ephesians 4. Therefore, verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to have a walk worthy of the calling to which you were called. Then he's going to break it down how we should walk worthy before the Lord of our calling. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. Notice verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. What does that say? That we should maintain a unity that the Holy Spirit created when we got saved. You know, the Bible says that we were baptized by one Spirit into one body. And so the Holy Spirit created this unity. It is now our responsibility to make sure that I maintain unity with you, right? To make endeavoring. What does the NIV say? It says, make every effort. So it is upon us to make every effort to maintain unity with one another, right? Well, Satan's fourth method is division. Division. All right, turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 12. And let's hear it from Jesus himself about what he has to say about Satan's kingdom and how it operates, and this particular method of division. While you're turning there, I'm going to set it up real quickly. Jesus had performed a miracle. The Pharisees had accused him of performing this miracle by the power of Satan, not by the power of God. And so Jesus addresses that head on. Go up with me to verse 25. Verse 25, Matthew 12. But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come to you. What's Jesus saying? Jesus is telling the Pharisees, don't you know that Satan knows that if he divides himself, his kingdom cannot stand? He'll try to divide the kingdom of God so that it will not stand. Notice carefully what he says here in verse 25. Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Notice the next one. He goes from kingdom to city. Every city, and then he goes from city to house. How many of y'all know that it takes many houses or homes to create a city? And it takes many cities to create a kingdom. So for a kingdom to be divided, the cities must be divided. For the cities to be divided, the homes must be divided. You see it? Yes, sir. Today? Yes. Yes. Excellent observation. Because over the 2016 election, families became divided over it. And over this last election, families were divided. Well, don't you think that Satan is accomplishing his work? He is dividing us. Now, what I've seen and what I've heard from pastor friends of mine, they've seen Christian families divided over politics. There's a great Greek word for that, and it is stop it. Amen?
Amen.
Grow up. What is more important, your political affiliation or your brother or your sister or your mother, your father, your daughter, your son?
But in the last days, that's what's going to happen.
Right.
So you're already seeing how that can occur.
Mm-hmm.
The little things that happen.
That's right.
They will turn.
That's right. Jesus said that. That's right. Yes, sir. Yes, it's a lie. The father of lies is the devil. John 8:44. You are correct, my friend. So division, we see division happening, but can we break it down more? Since division, for division to happen in a kingdom level, it must happen in a city level. For division to happen in a city level, it must happen in a home level. Right? First, that's where Satan begins. Now go with me to James chapter 4, please, because I want to explore that, how Satan, and this is, we're going to, Brother John Bob, you're a great mechanic, you're a master mechanic, so now we're going to look under the hood, and we're going to explore the spark plugs, we're going to break it down in detail, how Satan accomplishes this division. Alrighty, so let's pop open the hood. This might need editing, Miss Sheila, but I remember one time, this was back in 2004, my family and me were living in Effingham, and I'd driven up to Springfield to make a hospital visit, and I used to, back then, you know, pastors dressed a little nicer, now it's casual, you can wear jeans and such, but I was wearing slacks and my calfskin leather shoes, and I had a nice starched shirt, so I was looking dressed to the nines, and it was like a summer day, so I walk in, and I was heading toward a hall that the room was in of the patient that I needed to see, and there's this gal comes rushing out of the OBGYN department and says, doctor, grabs me by the arm, doctor, we need you in here. And as she's pulling me in, I said, No. I said, ma'am, I'm not a doctor. Because a lot of the doctors there in Springfield are like from India and they're dark complected. Well, she thought automatically, I'm dressed to the nines, I'm a doctor. And I looked at her and I said, I'm not going to look under anybody's hood today. True story. And she looked at me like, I think that said it all. And she just marched back into that. You know, okay. You want more pews filled?
Yeah, yeah.
Stop editing. Right, Brother Chompa? I'm losing it up here. Sorry. Sorry, guys.
Saint Jean is losing it.
This is the story of my life. I don't get it.
Why do I need to edit?
No, you don't need to edit. Right? I could just imagine, you know, people tuning in to the radio, and it's Miss Sheila makes me look really good. Her editing job makes me look like a really godly, holy man. But I can imagine they come in here and they go, oh! He said, what? That's not the guy I listen to. That's not the holy man. I know. Oh, we love each other. I'm glad you guys put up with my little carnal shenanigans at times. James chapter 4, verse 1. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. Now, this was a church in disarray. James, the half-brother of Jesus, that was one of the disciples, he was the pastor of this of a church in Jerusalem, and his church was a mess. There was favoritism, there was carnality, there were divisions, the rich were favored, the poor were rejected, as we talked about, you know, this morning, the voice of rejection. The poor were marginalized while the rich people were given the best seats in the church. And so James had this daunting task. And one of the things I love about the book of James is that it just, you know, the Lord turns you every which way but loose. Right? I mean, it's pow pow, baby. He doesn't flower it up the way Paul the Apostle. This guy just hits you upside the head and, you know, hope you recover well on your own terms. But that church needed that strong of discipline. So we see that there was infighting because people were lusting after things. They were willing to go to war to obtain things that should not have taken them to war. Now, let's go up to just rewind one chapter. James chapter 3, we'll begin reading with verse 13. And the reason why I'm having this rewind is because when the Bible was written, there were no chapters and verses. Those were added many years afterwards to locate verses more easily. But it was just one letter. So really what James is talking about at the end of chapter 3 just keeps going into chapter 4. He didn't just change subjects where it says chapter 4, verse 1. So chapter 3, verse 13, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and what's the last characteristic? And of the devil, demonic. It is of the devil. This is devilish wisdom, and it is set out. Listen carefully. I'm gonna break some words down. Okay, we're under the hood, right, Brother John Bob? So let's get into the detail of it. So this wisdom. Notice verse 14. If you have bitter envy, that's harsh. Bitter envy. I mean, you're envious of something so much that you become bitter at others over it. Notice this, and the next word, self-seeking. also translated selfish ambition in the New International Version. Am I correct in that? Selfish ambition. Let me give you the Greek word, epithēia. Epithēia. It was used of politics at the time, and it meant electioneering, positioning for power and control. Epithēia. It's the Greek word epithēia for the word selfish ambition. So it was a political term. Basically, you shove people aside, you step over people to get your way, you do what you have to do. If it takes doing dirty pool deeds, you do them. At all costs, to get your way. And he says this, listen carefully, James says this to describe the behavior of some Christians. Right? He's talking to Christians. This is a church. This is not a bunch of non-believers. And he's saying that they will pull rank. I'll get to that one in a little bit. Oh, Lord have mercy. Do you think I keep it real when I teach the word? I just get in there with the best of them. And they'll throw their weight around, and they'll pull power plays. How many of y'all have ever seen a hockey game, a power play? Well, power plays aren't just done in the hockey rink. They're done in churches, too. So, pulling rank. Let's start with that one. Sometimes I think I should write a book because I don't make this stuff up. I don't make this stuff up. This has been part of my journey of 30 years. You know, in my previous pastorate, any time that the elders got together, and I would always have monthly meetings with the elders, we had important, when we didn't have important decisions to make, everybody was agreed on, no big deal, that's doable. But when it involved a big decision that involved resources like money, church money, always there was one guy, he would sit there and he would always pull rank by saying, well, I've been a church elder in this church for 30 years and I know more than all of you guys about how this church functions. That was his introduction for him to try to get the upper hand over the rest of everybody else's feedback or input. What's he saying? You might share your opinion, but it doesn't matter because I'm the head honcho here. See how subtle it can manifest? It's so sad that your position as an elder in a church for 30 years defines who you are. So other ways I've seen this manifest is this selfish ambition. And incidentally, I forgot to tell you how it is defined. Epithēia is defined as the desire to seek followers to cause division. The desire to seek followers to cause division. Two pastorates ago, we were trying to come to a consensus in the church, abiding by the constitution and bylaws of that particular church, because that church was sitting on a gold mine. They had a lot of money. And we were thinking about expanding the building to create more fellowship room space because there wasn't much to the fellowship hall. Our church had been growing, and so we needed more space. And so we pitched that thought. And I wish I could sit here and tell you that everybody was just so turned on about more space. 40% didn't like it. 20% were undecided. And the other 40% were for it. And so we had meeting after meeting, and when the final tally came, listen to how this works. And I'm telling you, who is behind this kind of wisdom? It is earthly, sensual, and of the devil. Listen, the devil's behind this wisdom. So what I would attend the meeting, and you could, as soon as I sat down, you could see the battle lines drawn right down the table. Because on this side, these guys, their body language was like this. They had their game face on, their arms folded. They thought they were bad to the bone. And they were ready for war. And you had other people just looking down at their papers, never looking up. And surprisingly, I saw some members there that had never darkened the door of a church, but phone calls were made to stack the deck. They were not active participants in church, but because their membership title, they were entitled to vote. You know, baby, if you don't have the guts to show up to church, you shouldn't have a vote at all. I thought that'd be received with a more godlier response, but apparently not. Is it too much? Okay. No, you're fine. So just listen. You can always take notes from the video. Thanks, Brother Genius. The amen. He's like slapping it. And so they stack the deck in their favor. Both sides try to stack the deck by calling people who did not attend church, had no desire to attend church, were not active tithers, and I knew that. So I was just sitting there, and they went to war. They went to war over that building thing. When the final vote was taken, it was approved. It went through barely, and some people left the church. See how the devil works? Divide and conquer. Divide and conquer. The desire to seek followers, to create division. Is that godly, church family? Not hardly.
What's even worse is what the pastor does.
Yes, that's bad. It does happen. You're right. Well, that's a clear way for that pastor to get fired. Or it should be. It does happen. And so, you know, there are a lot of subtle ways. Because I have a photographic memory, I remember all this stuff. I never have taken notes. I don't keep a journal. It just sticks with me. And I catalog it in my brain. I have all these nice little scriptures on this subject, scriptures on this subject. Recently, somebody from our church asked me to see the notes of one of my lessons on the kingdom of darkness. I said, I never use notes. It's all, how many of y'all say that's a gift from God? I cannot take credit. That's a gift from the Father. So all glory to Him, none to me. He made test taking in college very easy on me. He thought I was the dumb guy that needed it. What's that? Yes. Yeah, with John Travolta. Yeah.
They wanted to do
it, you know. I know, right?
See what was inside.
Yeah, exactly. But it ended up being a tumor, bestie. And he passed on. Are you trying to tell me something? So you know, people will try to say, you know, I've been here X amount of years. And they have. And they've been faithful. And they've worked in the church. And God bless you. But I'm always leery of when someone tries to throw their credentials at me, and they're normally credentials of, well, I was here when Pastor so-and-so started this church back in 1942. Well, I'm happy for you. But church is not done the way it was done in 1942. Sweetheart, Stepford wives are a thing of the past. As conservative as Cynthia is, she would kill me if I asked her to become one. She would be the cooking bottle washer, you know, that Argelie commercial. I can bring home the bacon, fry it up on a pan, and never, 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 never forget the romance, because I'm a woman. Don't edit that. That's right.
Because there ain't no way if she's going to come home from work and say, be romantic, I got news for you. Go get the frying pan.
That's right. Outside the head. Yeah.
Stay away.
That's right.
Romance starts in the kitchen.
That's right. You know, my lady, she's already talking to me like plans for after marriage, you know, after our wedding ceremony. She's like, just remember, Joe, I'm the crock pot. You got to plug me in hours before. I'm like, gospel, sister. I am the microwave oven. I want it now. No, leave it in, bestie. It's too good.
The Cynthia version of church.
Send Cynthia the raw version. She'll get a kick out of it. She'll tell you it's true, though. I'm a crockpot. Ah, be quiet. All right, let's get spiritual. Let's have that heavenly wisdom about us. So we see a lot of this play out. I've seen it time and time again. I've seen it by people in larger churches, non-denominational churches, that will try to use the gift of prophecy to try to sway a portion of the church away, and they become a breakaway church, and they leave this poor pastor who has busted his, you know what, his ha-has over the years to build that church up, and this little dingling prophet, this sidewalk prophet, will flash some false prophecy, and people will fall all over themselves over this guy and will follow him to the ends of the earth as he seeks to create a break or division from this bigger church. It happens. Yoo-hoo. I've seen it happen. And usually those little breakaway things never last. They'll dwindle and somebody is left. It only hurts the body of Christ. Amen? You just division. The devil's in the middle of division. Sometimes Christian attitudes. I'm going to close with this one. I think we've had enough fun for the night. You know, I talk about, this morning we were talking about persecution, and our youth leader, and they wrote a book, and I ended up being chapter 8 of that book. See, now I've got all of your attention. What did this person, it was a she. It was a gal. She, in her marriage, you could tell that she wore the, don't you just love that I just shoot it straight like I'm just, you know. Anyway, she wore the pants, and the husband was kind of woman whooped, and that's a Christian term. Right, G? he was woman whooped, but she was off her rocker. She created her own reality, and something bad happened on a trip that they had taken the youth out skiing to Colorado. And we called her in, and we had to relieve her of her duties, her and her husband of her duties as youth leaders. And the way she took it out on me and the church, she ended up writing a book about her life story. Now, let me say here, the title of the book was like, From Out of the Darkness, A Woman's Rise to Nobility. I'm not going to give you her name. I'm not even going to say her name. And she talked about when she used to live in Kentucky, and she had an affair with one of the senators. And you know, church family, there's just some things that should not be written about. I don't know. I don't care how much they happen, how often they happen. If it's a part of your story, exercise discretion. This woman wrote it in torrid detail about the affair. People who read all the book, I just read portions of it, they said it seemed like they were reading a romance novel that was very steamy. And she calls herself a noble woman, but she nailed me in that chapter that I was a puppet of the board, and I did this and I did that, and I thought, you know what? Forget it. She's not worth it. I hope she sells enough books to cover the cost of the printing for her. And I moved on. But you see, people's attitudes can be divisive. And that's the way she rolled in our church. She was very divisive. Finally, we had to ask her to step down and her husband to step down. Why do I say that? Because division. Division happens. And some people have it in their system to create division among the fellowship. You know, in Proverbs chapter 6, one of the abominations, there are seven things that God hates and detests, considers abomination, and one of them is sowing discord among the brethren. Amen? God detests that. God hates division. One person sowing discord among the brethren. All right, how many of y'all laughed and had fun? Had your eyebrows raised a couple times, Ms. Sheila? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for your love. Lord God, the Word is always alive, always living, always powerful. Help us to keep in mind these methods of the enemy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Don't get it, Betsy. You and Mama Jess are
not. Nobody's done it right.
You tell all the people that didn't come that they missed it.